Thank you for downloading this podcast from Emmanuel Church Lurgan. At Emmanuel, our vision is to help rewrite the story of Craigavon, Ireland and the nations with the good news of the Kingdom of God. We hope you enjoy listening to this message.
Thanks, guys.
Good morning, everyone. Are you all keeping okay? So there's lots happening. We are going to miss Lynn, so it is. Not only to keep Lenny in check, but everything that she has brought to the table. Lenny, we will miss you, but thankful that you're still part of our family here. We are going to keep moving on with the teaching series that we're on of spiritual gifts empowered. Through this morning, I'm going to bring a couple of people up that we're going to share some stories with of how these gifts impact their lives, basically. But let's do a little bit of a recap here, okay? Remember that little tagline at the top of eagerly desire these gifts, okay? And whenever we're thinking about this, the reason that we've pressed in and we've given this such a significant amount of time is because we believe that the spiritual gifts are the tools that God has given the church to do the mission that he's given the church. We want to see his kingdom come, and we want to make disciples of all nations, and we want to see God transform this earth. And whenever we're getting a task like that, we would need some help. And the spiritual gifts are what God has placed in the body to fulfill the job that he's given. A little reminder of the definition that we've been given is spiritual endowments or abilities that are given by God, so God distributes them, that enable us to serve others. Notice the word serve, in God's power and love for the purpose of building up the church. But it doesn't just stay within the church, to make an impact in the world. Okay, so this is the definition that we're holding on to of spiritual gifts, why we're leaning into them and why they are so important. And we did a little bit of a recap on fivefold. Our church has been built on this. This has been fulfilled. One of the founding teachings that we're sort of lean into of how we see the church operate in terms of the fivefold. The apostle, who's got drive and imagination and strategy to see God's kingdom come. The prophet, who has listened to the word, equipping the body to hear from God. Okay, so these giftings are really important, that their role is in the equipping of the body. So the prophet equips the body to hear from God. The evangelist is equipping the body to share the good news. The pastor is equipping the body to look after itself and to love really well. The teacher is equipping the body to handle and to step into God's truth. So whenever you see these roles, because most of these ones end up as leadership gifts within the church, and you could be looking and going, they just need to do all the work. That's their responsibility. Their role is the equipping of the body that all of us can step into this. And in many ways, that fivefold should be catalytic through the body, that actually they're catalyzing other people to step into these giftings. You'll then see we broke them down: the eyes of God, the hands of God, the mouth of God. We've pressed into these sort of manifest gifts, the ones that look, probably feel a little bit more spectacular. They feel a little bit more supernatural. They're not our own ability that God has placed on it. Dave has been leaning into leadership and administration last week as well. And so there's been lots going on. We've had our lab nights, okay? So our lab nights have been going on. We've had two of these so far. Our last one is tonight. These have been great, like safe, but significant, powerful places. If you haven't been along, this is our last one that we're doing. Get along tonight at 6:30. Talk to someone that's been to one. We hope and we trust that they'll give you a good report. We're actually going to ask somebody, have you been to that? What was it like? What did they do? And we do split into groups. We do practice-y things, but we do it really safe. And at no point are you under pressure to do anything that you don't want to do. And so we really encourage you for the last one to get along to that tonight. Today, where we're leaning into is gifts of helps and service, okay? Gifts of helps and service and the gift of mercy. Let me give you some scriptures for these, because it's really good to see where they are in the Bible, yes? So here we go. We have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 28. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, the prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gift of healings, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. So see that little phrase of helping, okay? We've got that there in 1 Corinthians 12. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Remember the word serve in this, okay? Anytime we're seeing the gifts in operation, it's about serving. It's not about lording over people. It's about service. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God gives, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And then in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So in this verse in Romans, we see both of these gifts being mentioned. The gift of serving or of helps, and also the gift of mercy. And the call with it is to do it cheerfully. So we're going to look at both of these gifts really quickly. And then I'm going to get a few people up. And I know that they can't wait to get up. So I didn't have to twist their arm at all to come up and share. But let's look at these. The gift of helps. So what are we talking about whenever we're talking about the gift of helps? Because it's good to bring a bit of definition to these ones, because as we see at the end, whenever we're talking, they're probably what all of us should be leading into and leaning into in some degree or another. But we're recognizing that there's some people through the body, through the family, that have been given a special grace to lead the way in this and to demonstrate the gift of help. So the gift of helps refers to the capacity to unselfishly meet the needs of others through very practical service. Okay, so this is helping people through really practical service. These are people that just want to get the job done. There are people that are saying, just point me in the direction and tell me where to go and what you want done. And these could be from a variety of skills. Okay, you could have a really unique and specialized skill that you're offering to people within the church to say, here, however I can be of help, I am willing to serve and I'm willing to get involved. There can be in practical ways or a skill base that you hold that you're saying, here, I'm giving this over to be used in whatever way it can. They're often unseen. And you don't notice that they're not happening until there's some form of disaster. It's a wee bit like if there was a glitch in one of these screens, all of us will start looking over our shoulder to go, what's happening at the media desk at the back? Has somebody fallen asleep? Or what's going on? They've maybe fallen asleep because they've been here getting set up while you've still been in your bed. They've been loading screens. They've been making sure that the live stream's working. They've been doing all of the stuff that happens behind the scenes that actually we arrive in and we go, oh, that looks nice. But there were graphics that were being made. There was information that was being checked and double-checked. There was things being loaded on. There was people using their skill set to go, right, let's make this work. And it doesn't get noticed and it doesn't get seen. It just happens. And if you are sitting here sort of today, maybe one of the ways that you could recognize that you have a gift like this, okay, is that you have this urge to help even before you have to be told. Or you see things that need done before anybody begins to point them out. That actually you are quite happy to work and to serve behind the scenes. We put a slight challenge in with that one, because sometimes we want to just stay out of the limelight, and God's calling us and asking us to step into other things as well. But there are some people you're going, actually, that is the place where I am gifted to serve. And it may never be noticed, and it may never be seen. And you actually, some of the things that other people are avoiding trying to do, you actually find a sense of joy in getting stuck in and making them happen. And actually that you just find a joy in using your talent. You find a joy in the ability that you have been given. And this gift is so important in the church, because often it creates space for coming along and other people to use their gift as well. It gets alongside it. It is what it says on the label. It comes along and it helps to get the job done. So we would love you to be thinking, because this morning we are going to give you just an opportunity. Whenever you hear the stories from people, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond of going, actually, I want to be bold and I want to lay hold of going, I think that might be the gift that I have. That might be the gift that I can offer into the church. And very simply, we're going to get you to stand. We're going to pray over you where you are, and then you can sit down again. But we want to do that this morning before we finish. So the other gift that we have is a gift of mercy, okay? So how does mercy look different from helps, okay? The gift is mercy is not just an emotion, okay? So lots of us can feel lots of different emotions, but it doesn't lead to anything, okay? So the gift of mercy is not just an emotion, but a deep calling. It is divine love under the power of the Holy Spirit, practicing compassion in Jesus' name and bringing glory to God the Father. Okay, so the gift of mercy steps in whenever there is a need or there's a form of suffering or distress. There's something that's going in that needs help with. It's not just helps is almost practical in terms of getting the job done. Mercy is coming in whenever there's a need. Here's a couple more quotes that sort of help paint the picture of this. And this is from Bugby. It says, "The divine enablement to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need." Okay, so the in need bit. And then Wagner says, "Mercy is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to feel genuine empathy and compassion for individuals who are suffering from distress, be it physical, mental, emotional problems, and translates that compassion into cheerfully done deeds which reflects Christ's love and alleviating suffering." So there's this gift of mercy that steps in almost when there's a need, maybe whenever there is a crisis. And we see this gift in the life of Jesus. So whenever we think of Jesus, look through the Gospels and you'll see he was moved with compassion. Okay? Whenever Jesus' action was motivated by this compassion that he had in the situation, that he saw something, that he noticed something, and he is moved by compassion. All of these gifts that we're talking about, we see demonstrated in the life of Jesus. We see modeled, and none of us can hold them all. So it actually takes this body, this family, to hold the gifts that Jesus was modeling and showing us. And we have an amazing compassion ministry in our church. They are filled with expertise and skill. They're a safety net within our community for people that are struggling. And we value that, and we will continue to pour into that. The reality is that our mercy compassion ministries need to be happening around our table as well. They need to be part of the DNA of the church family that we hold to mercy and to compassion. But then we recognize there's just some people that God's put it on them, and he's given them the grace, and he's given them the capacity, and he's given them the empathy to be able to step into this. With all of the gifts, we are continually saying, listen to the Father. Listen to the Father. Where is he directing you to? Where is he leading you to? Because if this gift is motivated by, excuse me, by compassion and need, oh man, where do you stop? Because you look around and in every direction, whether local or global, you're seeing a need that inside of you, your heart wants to respond to, and you want to take action on, and you want to do something. And this is where we're saying, with all of the gifts, listen to the Father. Because he needs to be the one who's pointing you in the direction that you need to go. He needs to be the one that's highlighting, here's the situation that I want you to step into. There's some brilliant research and looking into of whenever helping hurts. Whenever we think that we're doing the right thing and we're trying to do the best that we can, but actually it's maybe reiterating a time-old problem and we're not actually doing anything to step in and cure it. We need to be listening to the Father. And the reality is if we don't, we're not. He gives us the strength for the things that he asks us to do. So we need to be leaning in for the things that he's asked us to do. And in those other moments, there's a potential that we're just doing and we're responding all in our own strength. And we need to be really, really careful of that. I'm going to invite some people to come up so they can get themselves prepped. We're about to move. It's important to note, see with the gift of mercy, you often associate this with like warm pastoral people. That you're thinking, you know, like the really friendly people, that they are the people that have the gift of mercy. And I just want to highlight that actually some of the most gifted people with the gift of mercy are not the most pastoral people, and that is okay. They're actually people who see a need and go, we're going to respond to it, and they don't give you the bonus hug, but they still get the job done. Okay, and I just want to encourage you that maybe you're here and you're listening to all of this and you're thinking that's really great, but you have an imagination of what that person should be like and you're going, I don't fit that build. But some of the people I know that carry the greatest mercy gift aren't the most pastoral, but they see the need and they either make things happen to make sure that the need is met or they step in and do it. But you sometimes wouldn't even know or notice that they've done it. So just to, don't be ruling yourself out if you're not fitting the build of going, I'm the warm, fuzzy one to hug everybody. Mercy, the gift of mercy is beyond that, okay? So let's come up. We're Charlie. Come on up, Charlie. Come on up, Christine and Gemma. And we're going to share some stories really, really quickly. And then we're going to pray. And then I'm going to recap a little bit. Don't you love this, Christine? You love this. This is the wonderful Christine Adams. Charlie, you're going to come first. Come you up here with me. So get your notes. He's going to give me a run for my money with a sermon here. He's got his notes all out. And then we've Gemma, who's on staff with us. Come on into the light here with me, Charlie. So, Charlie, give me really quick, introduce yourself in 10 seconds. Go for it.
My name is Charlie Stone, 16, and go to Cogavin Senior High School, Logan.
Amazing. And we've called Charlie up for the gift of helps, okay? And some of you may have already noticed this and seen this in Charlie, but there's things like happen that, like, you have a day off school and lots of people are just maybe diving into their PlayStation. And on some of those days, we find you here sort of helping and getting involved. Just tell us the way, Charlie. What does that look like and what's that for?
Bored.
Very good. I love brutal honesty. I love it.
No,
your mum might give you a different job to do. Is that it?
No, I'm only joking. I love helping people. That's where my heart is. I don't do it for recognition. I do it because that's just where my heart is and because I care for people. I love helping people so much. I find joy in church and out of it, helping and people knowing that I'm there for them and genuinely show that I care for them. I love to do the small things, like just even setting up rooms and stuff to show that I can show God through what I have in the small, darker parts. So like, say, room setup, I'm enabling myself to let God work through others, into others, because I've set up the church for the rooms or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't do it for recognition, as I said, but I love doing the small things, like to make people's day, make it easier for people to see that I'm there to help them, and they can come to me anytime with anything. But yes, just I just love helping people so much.
It's so good. I love hearing that. And if we're sort of then coupling this with, let's say you're in here and you've sort of got, some of us are involved in sort of leadership and making stuff happen, and it's just stuff that can't happen. There's stuff that can't happen unless people like Charlie are going, I am getting stuck in and I'm making this happen and I'm getting alongside. And the beautiful thing is that it's with joy. It's with whenever you're around him, you actually, other people want to join in with what he's doing because they actually just want to be around him. Stay with me because we're going to pray over the people that are going to stand for helps, okay? Gemma, come with me. Gemma, obviously you are on our compassion team, so involved in all of that. But yep. Equally, on a Friday night, yeah. Not part of your job,
no.
You turn up here. And I believe it's through the gift of mercy that sort of drives that. Tell me what it looks like. Tell me the why. Tell me about it.
I think really simply, when you're talking about the gift of mercy and moving in compassion, it requires a response. I think if you see a need in front of you and you're moved in compassion because of the gift that God's put inside you, whether you do something or not, you've given an answer, right? So, and we have already rolled out the invitation as a church. And how I look at the guys on a Friday night, there's a group called Fuse that we've named that come in here. The reason why we've called it Fuse is because we want to help ignite something within them, and we also want to connect them into what already happens in this space. So we've already given out an invitation as a church body to community, and that involves these kids as well. Historically, if we zoom out a little bit, we've had Dixie and Matthew and Paul on the streets for a long time working with these kids, inviting them in. There's organisations like Reach and Aspire who are already out there doing the stuff. Go way back, there's been lots of youth and detached youth happening from this space, which has been great. And what now? What does that look like? When we have rolled out the invitation, we've said with our days down in Shankill and Mournview, you know, we were giving out the stuff yesterday. Tash was talking about pouring into these communities consistently. What do we do when they show up at the door? How do we pivot and make space in what already happens? Or do we say, you don't fit into what we already do, we're really sorry? And I don't think that's good enough. I think if we give an invitation out and somebody shows up at our front door, we roll the red carpet out and we open the door and we say, you're so welcome. What can we do? So on a Friday night, we meet in the underground. We open the shutters door at 8 o'clock, and when they're literally banging on the door, these kids have come seeking, asking and knocking, and they knock and they knock and they knock. And whether you want to or not, that requires a response. So we open the shutter door, they come in, we hang out, we have our great drop-in space, we have food, and we spend time with them. And that is the most important thing, is that for an hour and a half a week, and it's only an hour and a half, we just get to give them our undivided attention as a team. And on the team, we have great people. Rob, I don't know if he's in here. Robbie had come to me and he'd say, what do we do with these guys on a Friday night? We would love to make space for them. Do you think you could get a team? And I was like, yes, there's lots of people. And there's lots of people in this church that already pour out, that already are part of organisations and coaching clubs and lots of things that go on in our town and bringing the kingdom of Jesus there. And I know that there are people who will do that in this space as well, that we have the resources, we have the opportunity, and we have the skills, so why not? I asked the team why they show up on a Friday night. It's not just me here. There's a big team of us, and I am going to read you their responses. Is that okay? So one of the questions, I said, in one word, how would you describe the kids, and why do you give up your Friday night to be here? So we would one of our helpers said we would describe the young people as on the margins. Just as Jesus reached out to people on the margins, we too are called to reach out to those who don't often get attention, to show them and tell them the good news that Jesus loves them. Loud and proud. To help create a safe space where they can open up and experience the love of Jesus through having crack. They're lovable. The kids kept asking to come in, and they kept asking if I would be there. How can I say no to that? My favourite word that David Baird said was fantastic. A Christmas time, we were gifted an amount of money to just have fun with them, do whatever we thought was good with them, and we put on a Christmas dinner. They all went home full to the throat of mashed potato and gravy. And on after that night as a team, we were debriefing, and David said this cracker line. He says, they barged their way in and they made this place home. And that's our heart for them, that they would make this space home. And then big picture, if we zoom out again, if they carry the love of Jesus into where they are, the ripple effect is huge. Where Holy Spirit goes, there is a mark, and that's what we want.
Well, amazing. Thank you, Gemma. If you want to know more about that, talk to Gemma sort of at the end of the service. She'll be keen to give you all the info on it. And Christine, come on over. So talk to me about, again, recognizing the gift of mercy, but it looks different things at different times. For you in creating home and what you and David have established, what's the gift of mercy that actually feels like working in that?
Okay, well, there's five people in our family. Six, if you count the dog, he's kind of the boss anyway. We have two kids who joined our family through adoption when they were 6 and 4. They're now 14 and 11. And we are also foster carers. We have mostly 16 plus for a couple of years now. The past year, we have had a 17-year-old girl living with us. She's actually been with us a year last week. So, yeah. But to be totally truthful, I feel like such a fraud standing up here because I feel like... I would never want anyone. I just don't want anyone ever to look at us and think, oh, they're so awesome. Because the truth is, I'm so mediocre at well, that's true. I'm really good at booking holidays.
Brilliant.
But mostly I'm mediocre. I'm enthusiastically mediocre, but still mediocre. So I just don't want anyone to think like, oh, I could never do that. That's too difficult. Because it is hard, but it's like, it's awesome. And the story, I'm so sorry, I always cry when I'm up here.
I love tears. You're okay. You're talking with the right
I
person.
I don't. Yeah. Anyway, one of the best stories I have is, and everyone knows that it's the starfish story, when all the starfish have washed up onto the beach and the water has gone away. And there's a girl, a little girl, and she's walking along the beach picking up the starfish one by one and throwing it back into the water. And she picks it up and she throws it in. And a man says to her, what are you doing? You're never going to save them all. And she said, well, I made a difference to that one. And I made a difference to that one. And I just feel like there's so many people. Like, we are the church, you know? And maybe you can't foster. Maybe that's not your jam. But you could support someone who does. And it's not just me. Can I freestyle? If you're a foster carer, can you stand up if you foster? Because this church has got so many foster carers.
Not here in this service, but we do.
They're
slowly coming up. They're slowly standing.
They really do. And I just think it's amazing. I think the foster carers are amazing, but also there are people who wrap around. Like we were going skiing in February, and it's not really Eve's jam. So we had nowhere for her to go, and there was no beds. Because she's 17, there was no beds for her. And I was talking to Jilly. I don't think Jilly's here in Warwick. And I was just talking to Jilly saying, oh, you know, chat, skiing, blah, blah, and nowhere for Eve. And then she phoned me that Sunday afternoon. Sorry, the foster carers can sit down. They were amazing. Sorry.
Do you want me to sit down too?
Jilly phoned me that afternoon and she said, you know what, we're not foster carers, but we'll take her. And they took her for a week. And every Tuesday night, they take her after she's gone on Exodus team this year, and they take her, and like, that's amazing. If you're not a foster carer, you could do that. You could be the respite for the people in this team. Like we could change the foster care system. We could if we all just did a part. You know, if we just did what's in our hand. Sorry, that's my.
It's really good. Stay with me. Okay. So we're going to pray. Okay, we're going to pray. We would love it of... Stop hiding away. So it is. Come on over here. We're going to pray, and we just love it if, for the gift of helps, for the gift of mercy, that you're going. I actually think that's putting words to the gifting that I have. We're going to get you to pray. The other slight tangent on this is sometimes mercy causes you to go to the source, okay? The source of the problem, of going, there's something happening upstream that's doing something that all of this is happening down here. And mercy sometimes leads you into a place of advocacy, of standing and championing those who are hurting. Out of here, you will have links that's happening. You have Aspire, you have Reach, you've freed beyond that Jilly and Mandy and Paula are championing with disordered eating. You have these things that people are going, actually, yes, I care deeply about the individual, but there's equally something upstream that I'm going, I can't settle on this. And I think that God's calling me to do something. And you, if we see the gifts moving together, that gets partnered with prophetic voice and imagination, then you start to get an assignment from the Lord for people. So basically, gift of helps, we want you to stand. We're going to pray over you. And there's nothing else dramatic going to happen apart from us praying from the front. And then gift of mercy, and equally that mercy with the sense of advocacy, would you stand? So can you stand with me? If you know that's your gifting, or you're thinking, oh, maybe that one is, let's stand. We're going to pray. These guys are going to be praying while you stand. Yep, some people standing. Super. Really good. Really good. Whatever your skill set, you're offering it in the gift of helps. The gift of mercy, that you see the need and you want to respond. And whenever that's going upstream, right? We're ready to pray. If you're not standing, just lean around these guys, join. If they're comfortable, lay a hand on them, and let's just pray over them. Let's all lift our voices together. Can we do that? Let's lift our voices. 3, 2, 1, let's go. God, we just say thank you for the people that are standing in this room. You aren't with me. Where's your voices? Come on. 3, 2, 1, let's go. Father, we just thank you for each person that's standing in this room. And God, we ask you that right now, that you will give them the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit for the gifting that you've given them, for the gift of helps, for the gift of mercy, for those that are called to go and stand and work upstream and see systems change. God, we ask you by the power of your Spirit, would you rest upon us? Would you do things, God, that seem beyond our imagination? And God, would you give a strength and a power? We pray for those that have been pouring out and it's been unseen. And we ask you in this moment, God, would you infill them afresh with the fullness of your power in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give these guys a massive round of applause. Massive. Our time is gone. Lee and the guys had a cracker song for us to finish with, but our time is all done. But can just let's be looking out for each other. It's Palm Sunday, okay? And this idea of Jesus heading towards Jerusalem, okay? He's heading towards Jerusalem, and he chooses to go on a donkey. And yet we know the victory and the authority that he went with. And sometimes we don't look that impressive. You know, I'm going to challenge Christine afterwards on that mediocre statement. But sometimes we just feel mediocre. We just feel average. And you have this donkey carrying the King of Kings towards Jerusalem for the greatest mission that has ever completed, to change and transform the universe. And Jesus wasn't bothered about looking good. He wasn't bothered about getting everybody's attention and impressing them in all of the Roman pomp that was going on. He actually was just about getting the job done. This is what he was called to do. And as a church, let's maybe get over ourselves on how we look or how we appear. Let's join in with whatever gift we have to get the job done, to follow the example of Jesus as he washed people's feet, as he sets his face like flint towards Jerusalem, as we're going to celebrate next weekend, and that we get to join in this. Have a great Sunday, whatever you're up to, and there's tea and coffee in the foyer.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. For more information about our church and all that we do, please visit our website at emmanuel-church.co.uk.